beaming down from a clear sky, but angry clouds have forced their way in from the sea and let loose another of the squally showers that have marked the weather of the last few days. Still, in another half hour they will be gone and the brilliant white light will return, so different from the much softer golden rays that cover the rolling green hills of home. I push the thought to one side. Whatever the beautiful countryside around Marwood Holt had been in the past, it certainly isn't home now. But I promised myself there'd be no comparisons, no longing for what my life had been before. This is different, that's all. I'm perched at the top of a whitewashed building among a jumble of crooked, narrow streets, where everything and everyone jostles for space. There isn't a spare inch to be found, at least not in the town, anyway. Atop the cliffs, the land is beautiful, wild and free, although sadly barren of my beloved trees. But down here, beside the bay, the place will be teeming with life again in a matter of moments once the rain blows away. It never seems to stop moving, as continual as the tide itself. I've never lived beside the sea before, or with my daughter and son-in-law. But then the last 18 months have been a series of firsts. Being widowed, for one. I lift my chin a little, fighting back the tears that threaten. No more, there's been enough already. It's just the change that's bringing them back, I know that. Once things are a bit more settled, I'll be fine. I return my attention to the room, to the bed where I've been sitting and my suitcase that stands beside it. It holds the last of my things to be unpacked, and once they are, I will be fully installed as a guest of the Lobster Pot, its first, incidentally. I have a bed sitting room that doubles as my study, and just through the connecting door, a tiny bathroom, which is all I need for now. I've even managed to bring one or two pieces of furniture with me from my old home, things I couldn't bear to be parted from. What was left, those things that didn't need to be sold, have gone into storage until such time as I can retrieve them. A soft knock sounds at the door. I know it's Robin. Leah had to dash out earlier to pick up some materials she'd ordered for the hotel. She looks tired, as if she's been doing too much or hasn't been sleeping. It worries me, but she'll only think I'm fussing if I mention it. "I thought you could do with a bit of something to keep you going," says Robin as I open the door. He's balancing a cup of tea and a plate of sandwiches in his hands. "Breakfast was hours ago." I smile, feeling instantly a little guilty. He's been so kind, bringing me regular cups of tea that he really hasn't got time to make, and trying to ensure that I eat something. I haven't the heart to tell him that I don't have much of an appetite. It's a reminder to ask Leah what she'd like me to do about food while I'm here. After all, it's not like I'm a guest. She hasn't got time to be waiting on her mum hand and foot. "Thanks, Robin. I probably should have come down. It's just that this is..." I trail off to look around the room. I'm finding it all a little strange. I'm very grateful, but... "It's not home, is it?" He smiles in understanding. "But things will settle down, Louisa. I'm sure of it. It's early days, after all." I nod, taking the plate from his hands. "That's just what people said when William died. Don't be so hard on yourself, Louisa. It's still early days. I wouldn't worry about that just now if I were you. It's early days." Except that very soon the harsh reality of my life without William made it clear that those early days of grace were well and truly over. The time had soon come to stop crying at the slightest little thing and start planning for my future. It's been 18 months now since he was killed, his life cut short by a drunk driver. Moving here is simply another addition to the growing list of things I've had to get used to. And get used to them I must. Robin is hovering, clearly at a loss for something to say. I smile again, taking the mug from him this time, a signal that he's free to return to whatever he was doing. He backs away and is almost at the door when he pauses. "I'm going running later tonight," he says, "when it's cooler and a bit quieter, but I don't mind walking instead if you'd like to come with me. I can show you around the town and the best paths to take up onto the hills. There are some spectacular views." His long ginger hair hangs over one shoulder, tied in its customary.